Thank you for staying with us on Consider This. But if you've just joined us, we're continuing our conversation with Dr. Serena Chioma, Senior Research Associate at Khazanha Research Institute. Serena, I want to come back to something you mentioned before the break about looking at the supply chain. Now, I'm wondering whether you have observed anything specific in the current movement control order that has been hindering the smooth smooth operation of the supply chain. Have you picked up anything that has had unintended consequences down the line?
You mean whether I've heard directly from what happened?
Or observed, yes.
Not observed, but the things that I heard, and I'm quite happy that this was rectified quite quickly. But for example, the farmers, paddy farmers, they harvested their paddy grains, and there were incidences whereby the lorry that was supposed to carry the harvested paddy was stopped because, you know, it was the movement control order. So it was stopped from going to the factory. But I was told that this was rectified quite quickly. And after that, you know, people could continue on harvesting and the lorries could function. So at least in terms of the supply of paddy, I don't think there's anything to be worried about.
What about, Serena, the orders that change the nature of the work at the market? So, for instance, not allowing the regular numbers of workers, the shorter hours, operating hours, are those things that actually might not be good in the long run?
Right, even after MCO, I think it should go back to normal. But are you talking about reducing the number of people during the MCO?
Yes, during the MCO.
During the MCO, yeah, I suppose they would have to take measures to reduce the number of people in contact with each other. But I think they'll just have to come up with ways to increase efficiency or to find ways to compensate in ways. Because there's always going to be a compensation here if you're going to try to control the outbreak of COVID-19. Comparing that to people who still need to go out, they still need to drive the trucks, they still need to pass food around. So, yeah, there's going to be some compromise. But as long as the food flow, we hope that happens. At least it flows, not a complete halt.
Well, there seems to be, as you pointed out a bit earlier, Serena, an extra focus on fresh food at the moment, right? Because, you know, fresh produce doesn't keep, you have to keep going out and buying some more. I'm wondering, in the event, as what we've observed under this MCO, have people been consuming different types of food and the impact that food insecurity might have on nutrition?
Well, I don't have the numbers right now, so I don't know how people are consuming. So I can't really answer you that, but I can give you a little scenario about what food security is, and then I think that might try to answer your question. So people always think that food security is about food being available. If the food is in front of you, it's available, that's food security. But Melissa, food security is way beyond that. It is multidimensional. It is also about whether you can afford it, whether you can purchase it, you know how to cook it. And even if you cook it, you are able to extract the nutrients and cook it in a hygienic way. Let me give you a bit of an example here. Imagine that we can produce all the rice for Malaysia in Langkawi, but imagine the boat is broken. So that is a food security issue because we are not able to bring the rice into Kuala Lumpur. But imagine there's the boat and we can bring it in, but the price is too high. That, again, is a food security issue because you cannot afford the rice. But what if you can afford the rice, but you don't know how to cook the rice? Again, it's a food security issue. Now, interestingly enough, imagine that you can cook it, but you only eat rice every single day throughout the MCO. No chicken, no vegetables, no fruits. That is a food security issue because you're not eating a healthy diet. To put it simply, if there's all the food, all the most healthiest food in front of your door, but if you choose to cook instant noodles for your kids every day, it's still a food security issue.
That's right. Serena, very quickly, could you help us understand? You're saying that the MCO will need to tweak its orders in order to respond to some unintended consequences of the conditions they've laid out. Is there monitoring going on? Who's doing the monitoring? And is it actually optimal?
Well, it's hard to say okay, because no one predicted this, right? So I think it is more of a reactory system where the minister is looking at what's happening and then they react to it. So I think, and to be fair, nobody expected this. So it's more of a reaction base. And I hope that the task force that is being implemented, they are able to come in and to strengthen the weak linkages within the supply chain. And also one more thing I want to add here is that we always tend to forget about our invisible communities. These are our migrant workers and our refugees. I hope that the task force is able to not only look at the food supply chain for us Malaysians, but also look at the food supply chain for refugees and the migrant workers, because they would have a different set of supply chain. And they're just as important here in Malaysia.
Yes, thank you so much for pointing that out. That is a very pertinent point to remember those invisible community. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Serena. Pleasure speaking with you. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have on this episode of Consider This. Join us tomorrow for another edition at 10 p.m. I'm Melissa Idris, with me Sharad Kutan, signing off for this evening. As always, stay home and stay safe, folks. Thanks for watching.